Good evening. I welcome all of you here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank all of you for coming out this evening. I appreciate it. Tonight, the name of my sermon is Children. And a lot of us have children, but none of us have as many children as God does. And I know when we were raising our kids, that we'd tell them what we wanted them to do, and we'd have to tell them again, and then we'd have to explain to them in detail exactly how we wanted it done, and then tell them again, and it just, it's endless, and I just cannot imagine how God feels, I've told them, and I've told them, and I've told them over, and here I am telling them again, and it's just, And he does, down through the scriptures, we have both of these books, and we see all the way down through it, it's the same thing over and over. He says it a different way, many different ways, but it's always the same message. And it's like, well, it's because he's populated with the world with a whole bunch of human kids. And, I know that I'm in my 60s, I'm 63 and a half years old. I know I look like I'm in my 90s, but I still feel like a kid, and he still shows me things that he's like, I told you, and yeah, but I didn't understand it. Well, go back and look at this, and oh, okay, so that's what it was, so tonight, it's children, and what are you going to do with them, so here we go. All right, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. Starting at verse 10, and this is Jacob. He's been told by his dad, I don't want you to marry one of these Canaanite women. I want you to go back home where we're from, and go back to your uncle's house and pick you out a wife from there, because I don't want a Canaanite for your wife. So he leaves, and he goes, and he's on his way, and he's left, and in verse 10 it says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Haran is, if he went north out of Beersheba, up past Jerusalem, and all the way up north, and then you took a right, you went over into Syria, you'd be in Haran. It says, he went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the east and to the west and to the north and to the south. And in thee, this is important, this is God talking to Jacob, the father of all Israel. In thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And I know I've read this to you before and talked to you about it before, but this is the part right here where the Israelites are like, hey, you know what it says here? Because of us, all of you are blessed. We're God's chosen people. It's right here. So yes, and we are. We are very blessed because of the house of Israel, the descendants of Jacob. What they did in their lives, it's in these books. And the things that God told them, it is a great blessing to us and to the whole earth. They're right, So, this is, this happened. And in this, in this deal here, Jacob has been shown something that, we know, and I've talked to you about this before, about a ladder. that ladder that he saw coming from heaven to the earth and the angels ascending and descending on that ladder. Well, the only way that angels can go back and forth from heaven to earth and earth to heaven is by the power of God's word. And so you have this ladder as a representation of the power of God's word, how angels were able to do it. That's what he saw in the dream. And a ladder, you all know what a ladder looks like. Well, in Strong's Concordance, ladder actually means ladder. That's the word, okay? But it comes from the root word that in the root word, it means a staircase, okay? Or it also means to make plain. So that ladder, and it was a ladder that he saw, and the word actually meant ladder, even though the root word is from a staircase, it means to make plain. That ladder made plain God's word. And a ladder has two sticks with branches going back and forth between them, hooking them together so that you can climb up and down on it. Okay, so we went over this in Spanish class, and we were talking about it one day, and David Maley, he was in the class, and we got done with it, you know, and I said, so this ladder is God's word, the two sticks put together, the two books put together. That's what Jacob saw, was the Bible and the Book of Mormon put together, and it's God's word in its total power, and he said, David said, I want to tell you guys something. He said, I'm an electrical engineer. What, isn't that what you said? A factory worker. But you knew what this was because you told us. He says, electrical engineers, you mentioned that. I know Dan's an electrical engineer. He knows what a schematic drawing is, right, Dan? Yeah. And can you see this at all? No? Well, it's a schematic drawing with a bunch of lines going back and forth and one stick, and then there's switches and relays and transistors and resistors and stuff printed in there. This is a schematic drawing. And if you get up close, I didn't have time to put this stuff on my phone and put it up on the screen. I'm sorry. But if you got up close, you'd see that it's a schematic drawing, and it looks like a ladder. Well, David told us that in the schematic drawing shows how the power runs through the machine or whatever it is that you're working on. And it's the easiest way for them to map out and show you where all the pieces, parts are, and how the power goes through it and how it works. He said, they use it because they found out, and I looked up the definition, and the definition, and it said, schematic drawing or the ladder diagram is the easiest way for the electricians and the engineers and the guys that work on the machines to make the machine plain to understand as to how it works. It's to make it plain. And so when we said that, you know, this ladder that Jacob saw made God's word plain, that's what clicked in David's head. And he's like, this is what it was. It was a ladder, like a ladder diagram for an electrician. So I found that very interesting. Okay, so Jacob, you know, there's things in the Bible that we find that you read it and you read it and you read it, and every once in a while, God just goes ding and pushes a button in your head and goes, and your mind goes, wow, that's really cool. And that's what we all thought that day in class when David told us that. He's like, wow. God showed Jacob a schematic drawing of how his power works to get the angels up and down from it. You know, It's his books, the word. Put together, it works. Okay? So that's an example right there, to me, of the truth and the validity of the Book of Mormon and the Bible. The two sticks. Okay, so let's go on down to... we'll just skip the rest of that chapter and go down to chapter 29. Okay, so Jacob, he gets up in the morning, and he does his thing. He makes a pile. He takes the pile of rocks that he had for his pillow and makes a little altar and consecrates it and pours oil on it and makes a vow to God. And in verse 1 of chapter 29, it says, "Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east, and he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth." Okay, so he comes in and he walks into this valley, he comes over the hilltop, and he sees this valley, and he sees a well, and the well has got a stone on top of it, and there's three flocks of sheep, and it's high noon, and the sheep are just sitting there. There's some shepherds over by the well, and they're not doing anything. So he comes up, and he says, in verse 3, it says, "And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place." So they would unstopper and then cover up the well, when they were done watering the sheep. I guess that was to keep the wild animals out of it and the birds out of it. And Jacob said unto them, "My brethren, whence be ye?" And they said, "Of Haran are we." And he said unto them, "Know ye Laban the son of Nahor?" And they said, "Yeah, we know him." And he said unto them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep." And he said, "Lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them." What are you guys doing? It's high noon. How come the sheep aren't out in the fields eating? Why haven't you watered them already? And they said, "We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together and until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep." And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. So here comes Rachel down into the valley. She's got her flock, her dad's sheep. She's got them, and she's bringing them down to the well. "And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother." Okay. "And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept," because he fell head over heels in love with her. Well, God has a reason for everything that he does, and he has a reason why he told Moses to write this down in the book of Genesis. He tells people all down through time, "I want you to write this, I want you to write that, and you do this," and they did it, and they got it done. And so here it is, here's this story. And I've talked to you about this before, that there was three flocks of sheep there when he showed up. And then Rachel brings her flock with her. And then Jacob goes over and rolls a stone away from the well's mouth, and he waters Rachel's flock. Okay, then the other sheep come up, and they're going to drink, because it doesn't say that he put the stone back on the well. So they got watered. Okay, so they get all that done, and then Jacob goes to her dad's house and gets introduced. He works for him for a month, and then... at that point in time, Laban says, "You work for me for a month. You're my relative. You shouldn't be working for free. What do you want?" He says, "Well, I'd like to marry your daughter, Rachel. That's what I'd like." And he goes, "Well, you work for me for 7 years. I'll give you Rachel." And you all know what happened. He married Leah instead. And then he He got Rachel the next weekend and had to work another 7 years. And then, at the end of that 14, you know, that first 14 years, when that was done, you know, he's like, okay, all right, I've done my 14 years, and I'd like to, you know, get paid and get out of here. And Laban tells him, well, you work for me another 7 years, and I'll make a deal with you. And he says, in verse 27 of chapter 30, he says, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, stay here. For I have learned by the experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And so he tells Jacob, he says, you tell me how much you want to get paid. You'll stay another 7 years. Tell me what you want. I'll give it to you. He's like, okay. And so he makes this deal that, you know, you give me all of the next time that the animals are going to have their babies, when they have their babies. He said, you give me all the brown sheep and all the speckled and the striped goats. And he says, you can keep the plain ones and the white ones for yourself. Okay. And so he does a deal, and he peels some sticks, the bark off of, he makes striped peelings of the bark on these sticks, and he puts them around the watering hole where he brings the sheep every day to drink. And so they look like they're in a striped forest. And so the animals, when the babies are born the next birthing season, the animals come out all striped and speckled. And so Jacob gets all the babies, and, you know, he's gonna get all the animals now. So they switch things around, and so the next time it's, okay, you get all the plain ones, and I'll take the striped ones. It doesn't work out that way either, and Jacob wins that time. And so anyway, they do that, and then it's 7 years, and then he leaves, you know. And there was things that went on when he left. But so what did he do? What did Jacob do for 21 years? You know, he'd wake up in the morning, right? Wake up in the morning, they'd feed him breakfast, and then he'd go to work. And what was his work? Well, he was a shepherd. So what did he do as the shepherd? Well, you'd take your flock out and water them, then take them to the field, watch them, then bring them back in, water them, and put them in the pen. Right? I mean, that's what they do. Okay, 21 years. Over and over and over again. All right. You all know who Rachel is. You all know who Rachel's son is. Her first son, her firstborn son, Joseph. Yeah. This is her baby. I mean, this is the one that she's going to get it over on her sister and the other two women. And, you know, Jacob's got, he's got four women in his life. And, you know, it's been in turmoil and everything. But now he finally has, they have a baby. Him and Rachel finally have a baby together, and it's Joseph. And we all know what happened to Joseph. And we all know what happened to Joseph in Egypt. We know what happened to Joseph's descendants, Lehi, Laman, Lemuel, Nephi, Sam. We all know what happened to them and where they went, because we have both of these books. And we've read them and we've studied them, and it's been preached to us over and over again as to what happened. Well, let's go to the book of John, the 4th chapter. Verse 1 says, when therefore the Lord Jesus Christ knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than, oh, sorry, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard, okay. that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. So Jesus had heard people talking about him, that he'd been baptizing more people than John ever did. And so he leaves that area and goes again into Galilee. And it says, verse 4, it says, he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So this town, Sychar, is there on the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. This is Joseph's place, one of his little towns in the parcel of land that was allotted to him by his father Jacob on his deathbed. Everybody got something, some place to live. Okay, now Jacob's well was there. So this is Jacob's well. It's not the well in Haran. This is a well in Israel. Okay, it's up in Samaria by the little city of Sychar. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. So here comes this woman out of this town of Sychar, Samaria, to get water out of the well. And she comes up and Jesus starts talking to her and asks her for a drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you even talking to me and asking me for a drink? I know that you'd think I'm beneath you because you're a Jew. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jacob made the well and he gave it to my family. I'm one of Joseph's descendants. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. He's going to tell us everything. And she's looking forward to that day. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. She had Jesus declared to her that he was the Messiah, okay? Besides his disciples, up until this time, he always kept one of them to keep things hushed. Even in Capernaum, when he healed Jairus' daughter, and Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum, when he brought her back from death, he told John and Peter and James, I think. Yeah, James. Don't say anything to anybody. And he told the parents, you know, Jairus and his wife, you don't say anything to anybody about this. I just want it kept quiet because now's not the time. So he wanted things to be on the down low. But this woman, he just came right out and told her, I am the Messiah. Here I am. He says, now go back to your town and tell everybody. And she did. And she ran out back to her town and she told everybody what had happened. Then they all came out. And in verse 39 of the fourth chapter of John, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. For the saying of the woman was testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode with there 2 days with them. And many more believed because of his word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So the whole town is there, and they're all like, we know that this is Jesus Christ. He has started letting people know, okay? And he had been talking to the woman at the well about the well of living water, that if she would just ask for a drink of it, she'd never thirst again. And he's telling all these people, I'm that well. Take a drink. And they did, and they believed. So let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. And you know, we was talking about kids earlier. Or I was talking about kids. You guys are just sitting there smiling at me, which I appreciate. But kids, you know, they always want something, right? They either want you to play with them, or they want a snack, or they want a drink, or they want you to fix their boo-boo, or, you know, they want to know where their clean clothes are and all that stuff. It's like, well, did you wash your clothes? I don't know. Well, then you don't have any clean clothes, if they're old enough. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So Moses has told all of the people, this is, you know, these are the statutes, the commandments, the judgments. This is everything you're supposed to do. I'm rehearsing it to you one more time. That you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. So when you get to the promised land, you're going to know exactly what you're supposed to be doing in order to worship God correctly. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Remember when you were young and you'd come to church and you'd hear the stories, and the preacher would start preaching to you out of the Book of Mormon? And you remember the story about Nephi and Lehi that went into the prison, that were put into the prison with the Lamanites? There was like 300 Lamanites in there with them. And Nephi and Lehi knelt down and they started to pray. And they got covered with fire and the Holy Ghost. You remember that story? And there was a person in the group of Lamanite prisoners in the jail there with them, and it got dark everywhere but where Nephi and Lehi were, and everybody's freaking out because it's dark, and this person that's in prison with them used to be a Nephite. And they look over and they see that Nephi and Lehi are covered in the baptism of fire. And it clicked in their head. They knew because they remembered hearing from their parents the story about, you know, fire baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so they're like, oh, you guys, look, you got to do what they're doing. Everybody, kneel down and pray to that God that they were telling us about, that he would forgive you of your sins. Tell him you are sorry. Tell him that you repent of your sins and ask him for forgiveness of your sins. And all 300 of them, or however many there were, I don't remember exactly, but there was a bunch, knelt down there in that prison with them and started to pray and ask for forgiveness. And they did it in sincerity of their hearts. And they were all baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost that day. And they came out of the prison and they started telling everybody. That happened. Remember the story? That happened decades before Jesus Christ ever was born. You remember that? Yeah, this was way before Jesus Christ in the Book of Mormon that happened to Nephi and Lehi and those 300 Lamanite prisoners. They received the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost way before anybody over here did. I mean, over in Jerusalem did. Remember the stories that you were taught as a child? The stories that you've heard read out of these books? Okay. Verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thy way, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. These are the commandments and the statutes of God. And this is what you're supposed to do when you come into the promised land. This is how you're supposed to live. And these are the things that I want you to diligently teach to your children. And so they did. They taught them for 40 years. They would teach them as they were walking. And as they were sitting around the campfire, they would go over this stuff over and over again so that they all knew it. And the people of the house of Israel, they knew, you know, and they would teach their kids, just like we were taught as kids. This is what he said. This is what happened with, you know, David and Goliath, Alma and, is it Alma or Ammon? I always get them mixed up, the guy that guarded the sheep and cut the arms off of all those other guys that were trying to say, which one? Ammon, thank you. And everybody, all of us kids remembered that story. That was like, you know, one of the big stories. Like, oh man, this guy was like a master kung fu, jujitsu samurai guy. He could take on anybody and everybody and nobody could touch him. And, you know, he was like a super action hero, in my mind anyway, when I was a kid. So yeah, you know, I remembered all those stories. And this is what we're supposed to teach our children. The things that are written in here, that's what we're supposed to do. Yeah, because that's what it just told us. When, you know, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Okay, so back in Genesis chapter 29, how many flocks of sheep were at the well when Jacob showed up? Out there in the foyer, how many? Three. Yeah, thank you. That is you, Rusty, isn't it? Yes. Okay. Rusty said three. Yeah, he's right. It was three. Okay, and then one more showed up. That made four flocks of sheep. Jacob rolled the stone away and watered all of the flocks, right? But whose flock got to drink first? Rachel's. Okay. Why is that written in here, and why is it so plain to read? Because God wanted it to be written that way so we'd have the history, and there was a reason for it, okay? There was four flocks of sheep that Jacob watered that day. How many women did he have kids with? Rusty. Oh, who said that? Some of you over here said four. Chepa said four. I saw a couple of hands go up, but okay. Four. Four flocks of sheep. Four women that had Jacob's children. Okay. It's a symbol of Jacob's family. Okay. Those flocks of sheep. He had a bunch of kids. And they had kids. And and his family multiplied and multiplied and became immense. And some of them came over here. And it says that he rolled the stone away. The woman at the well was part of the story, okay? She was presented the Messiah first publicly. And the people of the town of Sychar of Samaria, they were descendants of Joseph, Rachel's descendants. Her flock was watered first at the well. Her descendants were watered from the well of living water first. Over here in the Americas, Lehi and Nephi and the 300 Lamanite prisoners, they got a big full drink. They got baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost first, before anybody over in Jerusalem did. And the woman at the well got watered first with the descendants of her town. They all accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Doesn't say they all got baptized, but they accepted him as the Christ. Okay, they recognized who he was. They took a drink from the well. In the story of, and we'll go to Matthew. In the story of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, verse 57 of chapter 27 of Matthew. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now, the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember. So here comes the leaders of the church. They go to Pilate and they say, Sir, we remember that that deceiver, talking about Jesus, said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. And command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers, the guards, did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. So the stone's been rolled away, and they can see that he's risen from the dead. He's no longer in there. And then he appears unto many, and you know, the day of Pentecost finally shows up, and they all get baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. But the stone was rolled away. And then from that point on, we could all, us Gentiles included, partake of a drink from the well of living water, right? But the stone had to be rolled away. Okay? Just like Jacob had to roll the stone away in order to water the flocks. The stone had to be rolled away so that everybody could see. And it was a testimony to all of us that he was risen. And then they got to see Jesus in person and could verify and testify to the world that, yes, he's arose. If Jacob had never rolled the stone away from that well, when would the flocks have been watered? Well, after everybody got there. But for 21 years, Jacob took the flocks out every day and watered them every morning, right? So I'm looking at this, and I'm like, okay, I know the story of Jacob and the ladder and the flocks and the women and the children and the well and all that stuff. And I said, God, it feels like I'm missing something. And I don't get it. What am I missing? Please tell me if there's anything that I'm not understanding in this story. Tell me what it is. And he said, Sean, I want you to do what Jacob did. Well, I know you don't want me to have five wives. That's a sin. Or four wives. That's a sin. So what is it? I don't get it. He says, water your flock every day. Give your flock a drink from the well of living water every day. Give it to your children and your grandchildren every day. Give them a drink. And then he said, and because you're my servant, you're also a shepherd of my flocks. I want you to give all of my flocks a drink from the well of living water every day. So I had more to do, okay? But each one of you parents out there, you need to give your children a drink from that well. Give them a little bit of God's word every day. You know, teach them, like it said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, teach them, show them where this stuff is. Let them experience it. Tell it to them in a way that they'll be able to understand. And it'll click in their heads. You know, and tell them over. You know, you can change it how you lay it out and everything, but tell them what it says, and you can, you know, let them see so that it's going to work in their head and it'll all mesh together and click. Okay, this is what we're supposed to do for the children. Teach them on a daily basis and give them a drink from the well of living water, not just your children, but your neighbor's children, and your neighbors, your friends, the people that you work with, give them a drink from the well of living water on a daily basis. Okay? It will make a difference to a lot of people in their lives if you do that for them. So, children, what are you going to do with them? Gotta love them. They're wonderful. Just give them a drink. Thank you.